Hola Tom, hola Steve, tengan un excelente programa. Ustedes siempre me hacen reír, están locos.
Welcome to Masters of Profundication. I'm Tom Witham.
I'm Steve Pyle.
And today we're going to talk about different tiers of actors and actresses for that matter. But I think for our purposes of the podcast, an actor is an actor, whether they're male or female.
Yeah, though I do think we're going to differentiate at some point because it's part of what we need to talk about is the differentiation between the male and female in Hollywood. But that's for the future.
Okay. So, before we get started, what's been going on in your life?
Well, as I was alluding to before we started, something crazy happened to me today that, if anybody that listens remembers, I'm pretty much a hardcore skeptic in most things.
You're the everything. The Dana Scully of the group.
Without being, Catholic. But.
But you're a skeptic.
I try to be a skeptic. I think it's a good thing to be a skeptic. But something happened to me today that would almost make me think otherwise. I don't. But it was one of the most coincidental coincidences that's ever happened to me in my life.
All right. What is it?
So every once in a while, I will just be perusing the internet, watch YouTube, just see what's on my feed. And what pops up is a trailer for the new It movie coming out.
Yeah.
Apparently in September, which I kind of vaguely knew they were doing, but I didn't really pay much attention. And I was like, oh, hey, look at that. So I play it. I'm watching it. And I'm usually not a big fan of remakes, but I think I'll probably see this one because it looked pretty good. And I hear that my phone go off. I get a text. So I kind of ignore him, watch the video. When the video's done, I look at my text. My brother texts me these words.
Yep.
Oh, crap. Now I'm trying to remember the words. He thrusts his fist against the post and still insists he sees the ghosts, which...
That's from It.
That's from It. That's from the book. And I think they use it in the miniseries back in the...
Right.
So while I was watching the trailer for the new It movie, my brother texts me from Michigan. I'm sitting in Maine. He's in Michigan. He texts me a line from the It miniseries back in the 90s.
Hand to God.
I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, that was totally, completely the hand of God. Because
that was the weirdest thing. And God, I told him, I was like, wow, that's kind of freaky. Because I'm like, I actually looked around. I actually like, okay, what the hell? Is he like, did he come here? And like,
Ashton Kutcher comes out. You've been punked. Yeah, God has nothing better to do than to tinker with people watching the trailers.
Yeah, that kid's got cancer, but screw you, man. Your brother's going to have a telepathic bond. Well, right. He told his wife, and she's like, oh, because I texted her, I was like, that's crazy. And he's like, oh, I told my wife she thinks we have a telepathic connection. That reminded me of when years ago we were driving. That's been like 12 years ago. We were driving his car, and he popped in a CD, like a mixed CD he made from various sources. And he looks at me, and he goes,
Napster.
Yeah, pretty much. All Napster.
Anyway, bet you can't guess.
Bet you can't guess what song's coming up next. And I looked at him and go, Everything Dies, which is a typo negative song.
Oh, I'm a big typo guy.
Really good song. And I was dead right. I didn't even hesitate. I looked at him and goes, Everything Dies. And he looked at me like I was a freaking alien, man.
Uh-huh.
Like, how the hell did you know that?
Psychic.
I just remember kind of slyly smiling and going, don't ever think you know yourself better than I know you.
That's right. And then you went through a dark tunnel, and when you came out and it was light, one of you was a werewolf and ripped out the throat of the other one.
Love that. That was one of the greatest sequences of any movie ever. You're talking about Twilight Zone, right?
Of course.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah. So now you're a believer. Good, great, grand.
No, wonderful. Coincidence has happened. I will never be a believer.
Oh.
But it was freaky.
Yeah.
If anything was going to make me do it, and it didn't. But if anything was going to, that would have been that.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Maybe just you're connected and you need to
it's
be
quantum entanglement.
Surgically removed from each other from the I
don't
know.
We're getting kinky here. I don't know.
Well, no, I mean those Siamese twins that get surgically removed, see, but we'd have to get some sort of like shaman or something. How would you do that? How would you disconnect
a psychic
people?
Removal?
Yes. Speaking of psychic removals, putting that on our calendar.
Psychic removals?
Yes. No, we're gonna go see a psychic.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's going to be awesome.
It is going to be awesome. I can't wait. I really, really can't wait.
So the supreme challenge for me will be there not to laugh the entire time.
Well,
I'm going to make myself do it. Maybe I'll get, well, something. I was going to say something, but I'll say drunk. Maybe I'll get drunk ahead of time.
and become a believer.
That's right.
Join us. The nighttime is the right time. The nighttime is the right
Right
time.
time is the right time. That's why they made you kill your dad, man.
Good times.
Adam Sandler.
So, actors, actresses, different levels. How does this pertain to pop culture and what we're doing here?
So, I have, and just like everything else we talk about, me and Tom have discussed this in years past. I have come up with a theory, what I call my four tiers of acting ability. Yes, not the catchiest title, but it describes me well enough.
So basically, actors come in different flavors, and I don't mean that by any other way other than
No, I
talent.
think if you licked Arnold Schwarzenegger, he would taste different than if you licked Sandra Bullock. I'm just saying,
Are they
if I
both
had a
in the joke?
guess.
Arnold Schwarzenegger would taste like marijuana because I guess he's getting into it big time.
I always imagine it would taste like vodka and potatoes. I don't know.
That's weird.
No, it's not. Just think about
Okay.
it.
But so you're basic run-of-the-mill actor is going to be broken down into different tiers of talent. Is that what we're talking about?
Well, not every actor could find him or herself in one tier, one particular. Like I go from the lowest tier. Tier one would be the worst acting ability, from, and then tier four would be the highest acting ability.
So like advertisements, like commercial actors, although I will
Not
say.
professional commercials. I would say like daytime TV. Come down to Royal Ford. We have the best deals. The king will give you the royal treat. That's tier one. Those are the wooden. Don't know. They know their camera's on them. They're nervous. They're trying their best, but they can't really make you believe that, they're in the scene. That's tier one actors. Those are the basic. Those are the high school play. Those are the, Christmas pageant, church
Right.
actors. Those are the actors. They're acting, so I include them, but they're the
I
worst. They're
would,
just the worst.
probably be a tier one actor.
Yeah, you know what? I think most people with a little work can jump up to tier two.
Oh, so what is a tier two actor? Where would you find a tier two actor?
That is, coincidentally enough, I think I mentioned it. This is what I call my Schwarzenegger tier.
Ah.
See, that's the people that are, they're wooden, but they at least are believable in the role you stick them in, as long as it's in their wheelhouse, if that makes sense.
So basically, in like, say, the movie Commando, Arnold Schwarzenegger plays ex-military dude who is, wait, was he ex-military or was he
He had to have been. He's
still?
always ex-military.
No, but what I'm saying was he still in the military or was he out? I
He's
want to
always
say.
out. He's always ex. He's never actually in the military.
Oh, okay.
Well, no, that's not true. In Predator, he was, I guess.
Yeah, he was absolutely,
It's Rambo that was always out of the military. He was pulled back in.
try and
Who
leave.
I would put Sylvester Stallone on the tier two. Like,
Right, as long as they're playing like a person that matches their personality.
yes, and I would say the bulk of action movie heroes fall into this category. Where they're very, nobody's ever going to give this guy an Oscar. Nobody's ever going to stand up and applaud when they've hit that poignant emotional moment. But they're believable. They're not wooden. They've got range. They've got inflection. They've got enunciation. They know how to deliver the lines. They know how to, preen for the camera, whatever they need to do. They get the job done, and they're entertaining. They're not
So
like cringing. Like even Steven Seagal would be a definite tier two actor.
let me pitch this one to you. Bruce Willis in Die Hard, the original Die Hard. What tier is he?
I would jump him up to tier three
Okay.
in general, even just Bruce Willis in general.
Okay. I'm thinking that his portrayal of John McClane in Die Hard was actually pretty good.
Yeah,
He
and this is.
is a perfect, LA cop, or I'm sorry, New York cop in LA. Fish out of water, kind of. He did a great job.
Yeah, and this is what I'm saying. Tier three, these are the people that are going to win Oscars. They're going to win the Golden Globe. They're going to win Emmys. They're going to win a lot of rewards because they actually do a good job in the roles they're given. Like Bruce Willis, he's completely believable as the Chicago, right? Chicago cop
Was he a
in
Chicago
LA.
cop or New York cop?
I want to say Chicago, maybe. Either way, it's
He was not from
Eastern
LA.
cop, right?
Yeah, he was fish out of water. Yeah, he might have been a Chicago cop.
I don't really remember. I need to rewatch.
Going to Google right now.
Okay. What did we do before Google?
winged it.
Fist fights.
Made shit
no,
up.
No, Chicago bastard. But yeah, these are the guys that, and women, who are very believable. They're, you can feel their emotions when they're playing a dramatic role. You can feel their anger. You can feel their determination when they deliver their lines with style and panache. They do a very good job. But you never forget that you're watching the actor, right? And surprisingly enough, and this is where the debate comes in, and this is where like people will probably take a swing at me when I start talking about this. Mm-hmm. Seriously. I will put guys like Tom Hanks.
Oh, yeah.
Jack Nicholson. Just people that are considered like top tier A-list actors. I will put in tier three and not tier four.
Yeah.
Because you never forget you're watching. Like every once in a while they'll branch out, but you never forget. You're watching Tom Hanks movie. You're watching Tom Hanks. You know, you're watching Tom Hanks in space. You're watching Tom Hanks as a prison guard. You're watching Tom Hanks.
On a deserted island.
On a deserted island. Yes, exactly. He was still Tom Hanks. He was just Tom Hanks with a beard, you know? You're watching Tom Hanks in Airport with a kind of accent. The one time he branched out was probably Forrest Gump. He did a really good job as a different type of character in Forrest Gump.
Right.
But for the most part, he's still Tom Hanks in every movie he does. Jack Nicholson is always Jack Nicholson. He's Jack Nicholson with a uniform on. He's Jack Nicholson with face paint on. He's always, always, always Jack Nicholson.
Right.
Snarky and sarcastic and kind of evil. And Bruce Willis is the same way. He's always almost violent. I mean, he branches out and gets to comedy sometimes, but he's still Tom.
Bruce Willis. The Whole Nine Yards. I love that movie.
Yeah, like I said, just beneath the surface, simmering violence, ready to go. That's still him.
Yep. By the way, John McClane was a New York City detective.
You look like you want to brag.
No, I'm not bragging.
You're bragging.
Okay, well, whatever. Anyway, yeah, New York City detective. According to Wikipedia, which, you know, is pretty much the gospel.
Well, by the end of the night, I can make it. So he's a Chicago cop then.
Challenge accepted. One of us can edit Wikipedia
pages. Actually, you're right. I don't have the ability, but you do, so.
Maybe I'll just do it.
I'll bribe you. There we go.
Okay.
He needs to be a Chicago cop.
Yeah, I mean, Chicago, New York. It's not L.A.
What is, though, really?
So we've established tier one, tier two, tier three. What's a tier four?
Tier four, the highest tier. These are, weirdly enough, not the guys that win Oscars and awards and stuff like that all the time. Which makes me think the Hollywood machine is really hardcore with, if you make us a lot of money and you're popular enough, that's when you win the award.
Right. Well, let me throw one at you. And you tell me if this, somebody who I think is a tier four actor, and it's not going to be, I won't throw out the name that we've already discussed before. Cause I know.
Yeah, you know the name I said. Yeah.
Your name, but I'm going to just throw this out there. Willem Dafoe.
No, I would say tier three. He's always
still tier three.
He's still tier three. He's always Willem Dafoe. He's always kind of crazy, kind of intense. That's his thing. That's his shtick. In Spider-Man, in Antichrist, which if you haven't seen it, see it, but don't see it. I'm not sure what I should recommend.
From Antichrist?
Yeah, yeah.
I'd not recommend that film.
The end will make you hate yourself.
Yeah, and I think the penis shots probably will, they're not flattering, I guess. I don't know.
Well, you know, it's artistic. You can get past that.
What happens, as soon as you make porn in black and white, it all of a sudden is eligible for, you know, Hollywood.
It's always art. Black and white's art. That's a law.
That's right. So we'll make a sex scene black and white and show you the penetration, but it's black and white, so it's no big deal. It's not porn. Right.
Use a soft filter. Use like a violin music in the background. Oh, that's total art.
Slow motion. Violin.
When the money shot have somebody with a tear, one lone tear coming down their face.
So no different from Pornhub, except
black and white. And yeah, tears. Black and white.
Yeah. That's interesting, Willem Dafoe, because I would have myself put him in there, but I can't really tell you why. What about Christopher Walken?
Oh, God, no. He's almost a tier two actor.
Oh, come on. That hurts.
Christopher Walken is never anything but Christopher Walken. Like I said, believable enough that he's not wooden, but he's always, he can never change his accent. He can never change the way his rhythm. He is a stereotype for a reason. He's the go-to impersonation that comedians do for a reason, because he's always, always, always Christopher Walken. He's never been anything but.
I can see that. So just remove the fact that you
love him.
Yeah.
What's that?
Just remove the fact that he's you like to see him in things and just.
Oh, I have no problem with Christopher Walken. I think he's great. This is not a judgment. This is a evaluation.
Yes, and a hair separates those two.
Yeah. Because if it was a judgment, I'd be a dick. If it's evaluation, it's scientific. That's what it is.
I'm not judging you. I'm only evaluating.
That's right.
Merely an evaluation. Okay, so Christopher Walken, Willem Dafoe. I threw this one out because I actually mistakenly threw it out last time when we were talking about this. Gabriel Byrne.
He might. There's a shadow realm between 3 and 4 that I've come to realize. And
Gabriel Byrne lives there. And
but you know honestly, what? You know what? I still kind of. I want to say 3 because I'm trying to think of any examples of him.
Well, he plays the devil a lot. He plays Satan a lot.
Yeah. Well, he was the same in, what was that Schwarzenegger movie? 6?
Edge of Tomorrow. It was,
No, it was like the
End of Days.
Like End of Days, yeah.
End of Days, yeah. He plays the devil.
Johnny Depp was the seventh seal. Yeah. End of Days, Usual Suspects. He's still the same dude in both of those, really. Even like with Femme Nikita, or what was it? He was in Point of No Return.
Yeah, he played the boss.
Yeah.
Gave the most ridiculous advice ever when she steals his gun and points at him and pulls a trigger. He's just like, never keep one in the chamber. That's so stupid.
Because that's never useful.
Right, because he was going to be so confident that she wouldn't figure it out and rack one.
Yeah, okay, there we go. Which we'll know when she racks one because the sound is distinctive and awesome.
That's right, because that means that the gun is loaded. Oh, you should have known. Okay, so give me your very short list. I know the one, so let's talk about the tier four.
Well, I'll jump in. I'll save the one. I'll jump into somebody who's brushing the feet of the one is Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yep.
That is a tier four. This is my criteria, which is I think should be set in stone and put in the Smithsonian. tier because four.
That's where all important things are kept.
Yes. That are set in stone. Yes. Right. Tier four. This is an actor and actress who you forget who they are that's playing the role. They completely lose themselves in that role.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah, and I would actually, and this is weird, okay? Leonardo DiCaprio and Brad Pitt, I would put in tier four. If they apply themselves. And I know this, like, they got the Hollywood pretty boy reputation, but when they apply themselves, they jump into roles that you forget that you're watching Brad Pitt or Leonardo DiCaprio or Daniel Day-Lewis.
Without a doubt, I agree with Leonardo DiCaprio. Brad Pitt, I don't know. I haven't seen a lot of his, like, Meet Joe Black, never saw it.
The greatest opening scene in the history of movies. Whether you like him or don't like him, especially if you don't like him. When he gets hit by the truck, oh, it's great.
The Benjamin Button movie, never saw it. Now, Fight Club.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll give you those two. Two of my favorite movies that have Brad Pitt in them. It's 12 Monkeys and Fight Club.
Now, I will say this. It's kind of blasphemy, so don't hunt me down. But Fight Club is not one of the examples I would use. Because he's still Brad Pitt in Fight Club.
Agreed. I'm just saying, but he's not the same Brad Pitt that's in, say, like Ocean's 11.
Right. He's more low-key in Ocean's 11, more focused. Fight Club, he's more like kind of hyper, kind of doing those finger gestures and those tics that you know him for. But when you look at him in stuff like 12 Monkeys, compare that to Fight Club. Compare Snatch is the one I always go to anything else he's done. These are movies that you like, holy crap, you forget. Even Legends of the Fall or Interview with the Vampire, he's a very different person in these movies than he is in most of his other movies. Inglourious Bastards, he's a completely different person than he's in all these. And that's the hallmark of tier four, is you forget you're watching this particular actor in this particular role. You're not thinking, I'm watching Brad Pitt. You're thinking, I'm watching whatever the character's names are, who's it's escaping me right now. But in Inglourious Bastards, you're like, okay, this is that colonel guy that's, or captain, or whatever that was in charge of. That's the guy I'm watching, not Brad Pitt. This is the guy I'm watching, you know, the kid in 12 Monkeys who's freaking crazy, trying to be a weird terrorist for no good reason. That's who I'm watching. You know, I'm watching the Pikey in Snatch, who's, you know, amazing bare-knuckle boxer. That's who I'm watching. I'm not watching Brad Pitt. That's the hallmark. A lot of it, and I'll say this, is a crutch, but it's a good indicator, is if they can do an accent, right?
Mm-hmm.
If they can lose themselves in a different accent, then that's a good sign that they're a good tier four actor.
Oh,
if they
so
can't do an accent.
Gillian Anderson isn't British?
You know, I didn't hate that accent. People shit on it. I actually, in the fall, maybe I'm not good at picking out an English accent, but I thought she did okay.
Well, I guess I just didn't like the show. Who are some female actresses that are tier four?
Now this opens up a whole can of worms, because this is a very difficult question to answer. I have an answer. I do. I've looked into this.
Okay.
The first one that pops up into my mind. Well, let me ask you. What do you think? Who would you put in tier four?
Well, I'm a big fan of Scarlett Johansson, but she's always Scarlett Johansson.
I would put her in the shadow zone, because if you watch her in something like the Avengers, as opposed to, and I didn't see it, but Hail Caesar, the previews did make it look like she was stretching her wings a little bit there.
She plays a straight up bitch in Hail Caesar, so I guess she's very much in control of her life. She's very much in control of, you know, everything that happens to her. Same as in Avengers, I guess there isn't a huge jump there.
Right.
But it two different characters, and she does them both justice. I would have to say somebody like Nicole Kidman.
I'm thinking of examples, and I still kind of want to say she's always Nicole Kidman. Like, I'm not thinking of anything that's just jumping all over the place with her. You know, like, I can't think of, like, with Brad Pitt, I can point to 12 Monkeys, I can point to Snatch. I can't point to anything like that with Nicole Kidman.
But. Well, Far and Away, and like Days of Thunder, things like that. I mean, she was in one fairly recently with what's his face, the other Australian actor that they did a movie about Australia. I saw a good portion. No, it was
New Zealand or something. Who was it? That was interesting.
I think it was what's his face that plays Logan.
Hugh Jackman.
Hugh Jackman, and. I don't know. She's all right. She's a good actress as far as
I'm concerned. And two or three actors are good actors. I'm not disparaging that. But
who's yours?
Charlize Theron, I would put in tier four.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because she does a really good job. You watch her in, you know, most of like The Devil's Advocate or something. That's, I don't know why that pops up in my head every time I think of her. But maybe because she was up against Keanu Reeves, so that always makes anybody look good.
Yeah, true.
But
well, she's in the the new Fast. Yeah, she definitely is completely different in Arrested Development. So,
or Prometheus. Like, she can be the hard, nail-biting bitch in Prometheus. She can be the innocent, frankly, retarded girl in Arrested Development.
Yeah.
She can be the crazy, emotionally damaged psycho and monster. I mean, she is. She's very...
She can be... Furiosa in Mad Max.
Furiosa, yes, actually, yeah, that's a good example. That was a
fantastic portrayal.
The best actor in that movie was, everybody has to agree, the meth head on the flaming guitar.
Yeah, yes. Oh, God, I love that movie. I remember when I was sitting in the theater, I remember thinking, I don't want to be anywhere other than watching this movie right now. This is the best movie ever.
Like, this is my life culminates here.
Yes. Oh, God, that was such a good movie.
I'm sitting there watching, like, okay, A, when the apocalypse happens, I'm going to be a wasteland warlord, and B, my first recruit is going to be a crazy dude on playing the guitar.
Yeah. Oh, God, I hope I have somebody.
He is a guy I will build my entire army around.
Do you want to know something really funny? I think I might have mentioned it to you, but the movie Moana, the Disney movie that just came out.
Oh, yeah, you did say something. I never saw it, though.
There's a Mad Max section. There's a whole part of Moana that is an homage to Mad Max Fury Road. It's fantastic. I love it. Except instead of War Boys, it's coconuts.
I love when those cartoons put like an adult reference in there. Like, was it the second Shrek movie? When they talk about the police are chasing a white Bronco.
God, the Shrek movies are right full of adult material.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Like the first one, we know he's reaching under the covers to give himself a little, you know.
Yeah. And,
or Farquaad.
Yeah. I mean, it's rife with adult references and stuff like that. I think that's half the fun of those movies.
They got to keep the parents in the theater somehow.
Yeah. Wow. Charlize Theron.
That was a divergence. Okay. Anyways.
Well, anytime Mad Max comes up, I'm on board.
Charlize Theron, Helena Bonham Carter, I really think is a tier four actress too.
Yeah, I guess I can't argue that at all. I just, if we're using their criteria that she's a different person and you lose yourself, then she tends to play more the same types She's that type of person in almost everything that I can think of. But I mean, that she's still far and away one of the best female actresses.
Four movies always pop up when I think of her. One, Snatch, mm-hmm. where she's like a kind of a sultry. I mean, seriously, until the end, she is like dripping sex the entire time. Like when she calls him up and like, you gotta give me a breast exam, and you know, the entire time.
Yeah.
And then she does like a 180 and she's like this kind of helpless, dope, you know, caught in the headlights. Like, what is happening? What's going on with you? I actually like you, but you're crazy. That's pretty, within that movie, she changes attitude.
Oh, are we talking about Fight Club?
Fight Club, yeah. What did I say? Did I say Snatch?
Snatch.
Shit. I was thinking Snatch, but for different reasons.
Okay. I'm on board.
Fight Club. And, but then, that's one movie. Then, The King's Speech, where she plays the, I don't know, what you, Queen Princess? I'm not sure what you call her.
The Queen Princess?
The Queen Princess. I'm not British. I don't care. Paid celebrities.
The Royal.
Yes, that's right. The overpaid celebrity. Yeah, and she was a good, completely different character. Then there's the Harry Potter movies when she was, what was it, Bellatrix Lestrange? Mm-hmm. The crazy psycho, you know, murdering magic person.
Non-muggle?
I ran out of adjectives there. Witch, there you go. It's pretty obvious. But she, and then, weirdly enough, and I hate to even bring this movie up because it was an abomination, but that crappy Marky Mark Planet of the Apes remake.
I still haven't seen it.
Yeah, well, don't do it. She
really?
Played one.
They're coming out with another one, right?
No, that wasn't. That's a completely different strand or something.
Oh, okay.
This is the one that came out in, I want to say, 05 or something like that, 03.
Yeah, okay.
Where it made no sense and it was completely stupid. It had a twist ending. Just to have a twist ending, it was utterly bizarre and inexplicable. That's a whole other discussion. But she played one of the gorillas in that, and she was, well, I mean, she had a ton of makeup on, but still, she was very believable.
Yeah.
Very different in that part. So those are the four movies I always think of. And she's a different person always, and she's always believable, and she's always in that role fully. So I would put her in tier four.
Gotcha.
But there was one person.
The top of all tops. This is the
tip top.
Number one.
The apex.
The one that everybody should try and strive to be like.
The who I consider the greatest actor of all time.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, he's the top of tier four, so he's got to be the top of everything, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't share that title with anybody. So right. Who you got?
That would be Mr. Gary Oldman.
Gary Oldman. How can you ever argue that?
That guy, I read a little anecdote that said that he actually had to go to a speech coach to get his English accent back because he played so many different roles, so many different accents, that he screwed up his own natural accent because
he
just kept losing himself in all those different roles.
Which sounds to me like all you'd have to do is go back to your old neighborhood and hang out with your old friends for a little while, and boom, it'd come back. But
well, it makes me think speech coach was like the guy that grew up next to me, just had an excuse to pay him $50,000.
Oh, so that's what he's calling the guy in the pub sitting next to him? Speech coach?
That's what he calls the daytime hooker at the corner. Yeah, she's my speech coach.
A daytime hooker?
That was a reference to an old TV show that I shouldn't have got off the air, but sorry. My name is Earl. Genius.
Never saw it.
God, I love that show. Anyways.
That's Jason...
Jason Lee.
Jason Lee, yeah. And Amy... Who's the
Priscilla, girl? Jamie Presley.
She was good in Best Friends with Ryan Reynolds.
I never heard of that.
Yeah, it's Anna Faris, Jamie Presley, and... Ryan Reynolds, and he's fat in high school and always trying to get in Anna Faris's pants.
Doesn't that have what's her name from Road Trip? Oh, what's her name?
I don't know.
That we got the dead air going on.
Well, it won't be when edited. Dead air be damned. That's fine. I don't care.
Dead air just means we're thinking hard.
Who is it? Anyway, in Best Friends, he goes away and becomes the Ryan Reynolds that you know now. And when he returns to try and get back down Anna Faris's pants, he's actually his friend who stuck by his side the whole time.
Wasn't Anna Faris like a celebrity? He was her minder or something like that? Like, I never saw the movie, but I do remember the trailer now.
No, I think you're thinking of The Proposal. And that's...
I did see that. That was Sandra Bullock.
Sandra Bullock.
No, I want to say Anna Faris was like one of those crazy Hollywood, you know, train wrecks, and he was like her.
Oh, that maybe. I guess I don't remember that part. I just remember Ryan Reynolds was really funny in it.
You're just letting your wife influence you.
Yes. because she thinks Ryan Reynolds is gone. Although she still hasn't seen Deadpool.
Oh, she's missing out. Holy crap.
No, she doesn't want to see it.
She doesn't want to see the
I think face. No, no. Like, we were watching like a clip of it, and it went through the montage where he's masturbating with the unicorn, and she's like, I don't even want to see
that. Oh, my God. That should make her want to see him more than ever.
No, she's...
Where he gets pegged? I mean, come on. That's Hollywood gold.
Yeah. No, I mean, she doesn't share the same wants and desires as, you know, like a 16-year-old boy.
That's a shame. That's a crying shame.
Agreed.
Oh, well. So, well, this is the thing, though. This is what I want to discuss at one point, though. It's hard to pick out women to jump into Tier 4. Tier 3, yeah, all day long. Most of the women that actually win awards are Tier 3. Well, most of the people that win awards.
So are you saying that the most of the women in Hollywood, I can't call it typecast, but if they're going for a look, they already know who they're gonna go after, because if we want a Helen Hunt type character, we're gonna go get Helen Hunt.
And this is this is what I'm saying about, and I didn't say this, but what I want to say about Tier 4 versus Tier 3. Tier 3, you have an A-list celebrity or at least somebody who's a flavor of the month. Who they tailor a movie around. Like, we're going to make a Tom Hanks movie. We're going to make a, you know, Benedict Cumberbatch movie. We're going to make, you know, these are the guys that we're not going to make a movie and then we're going to find a really good actor to fill the spot. These are the guys that we're going to build a movie around this person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's most of the high-end women actresses. That's what they do. Like, okay, just for an example, I looked up IMDb's. They have a list of the top 50 greatest actresses of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Number one is Meryl Streep.
Yep.
Tier 3 all the way. She's always Meryl Streep. I can't think of anything where she was. I never saw it, but what was it? The one she did about Margaret Thatcher? I don't know. Maybe that was a different, like a departure for her.
Mm-hmm.
But.
Well, when she has to play like a biographical figure, like, didn't she do Julia Child?
Yeah, I think that's not right.
Yeah, I think when she has to, like, because she can pull off playing these people that were real.
Yes, and she's believable, and she's a good actress, definitely. But she, anytime she's not playing a biopic, she's always Meryl Streep. And I'll just run down the list real quick. She's at the top, but the next handful are what you consider like classic Hollywood. Katherine Hepburn, Ingrid Bergman, Betty Davis, Olivia de Havilland, who I never heard of, Vivian Leigh, Audrey Hepburn. These are Elizabeth Taylor. These are the women that are considered the greatest actresses of all time, and they're always the same person in every movie I've ever seen them in.
Mm-hmm.
And especially, and this is maybe heretical, and I will probably get hate mail if I got mail at all. But actresses, actors, any Hollywood personality before, I would almost say like 1970, was very, like, there was like a weird wooden style to acting back then that you didn't have to watch them. You could just hear dialogue from that era, mm-hmm. like the golden age of Hollywood, the black and white age, and you know exactly what you're listening to because they talked in a certain way. They had a certain cadence that I don't consider great acting. They're not believable. They're not believable as real people. Nobody seems like they're that.
Right. Well, classic Hollywood is just, it was a totally, completely thing. Yeah, they were creating what we now have, but there was a different approach to how movies were made. There was, you know, a certain amount of swapping out of people. If so, you know, there was a lot of grudges being held. There were a lot of people that belonged. They were property of a different studio. You know, they probably didn't negotiate any of their own contracts in any way, shape, or form. So you had these people that had to be way more than just actors. And so they'd come on set, they'd read lines and go home. And, you know, they didn't have the editing skills that they have now, which is really where movies are made.
Yeah.
You know, the final edit is really, you know, you can take somebody that is a terrible actor and maybe do like 50 scenes. You can shoot 50 different angles and then cut the one that looks best. And so you know, back then sets were built differently. So you can, you know, when somebody walks into a room, it's a different thing. So yeah, movies of like you would almost have to take that list of the 50 best actresses and take everybody out that from that golden era of Hollywood. You would have to separate it by modern times because it's a different thing. They did the same thing and they entertain us probably the same way, I guess, but just everything is different. The approach is different. The hiring is different. The way they're treated is different. You know, it's a completely different thing. So, you know, actors and actresses now are concentrating on a craft where back then they were probably concentrating on way more, way, way more.
They had a lot of baggage they had to take to every shoot,
And so,
and I'm not shitting on them per se. There's a saying, and I think it's usually applied to science, but it applies here, I think, is we stand on the shoulders of giants, which is somebody had to come before you. You know, somebody had to blaze that trail. Somebody had to make that path, build that scaffold that you're standing on. So if we have a better caliber of actors and actresses today, it's because the craft was honed over the years, over the decades.
Well, I make that argument when I'm talking to people about the old slasher films of the 80s. When people will say that those movies don't hold up over time because they're so ridiculous. You watch them and they're just absolutely bonkers, ridiculous movies. But if you think about it for just a second, they were busy inventing a genre. You know what I mean? So, yeah. So
you have the luxury of saying that because you've seen it 100 times.
Right.
That and was new back in the mid-70s, early 80s, whatever.
Right. You know. So, I mean, yeah, they don't hold up over time because, you know, things get ruined by a lot of things. I mean, technology. How many movies, how many slasher films would have been over in 5 minutes if they had a cell phone?
Exactly. Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah. It's almost like you have to separate it into periods. And like I said before, I feel like actors and actresses of that bygone era, you can't even count them as... You'd have to make a separate list.
Yeah, and exactly.
Probably a total of zero of them would be tier four, male and female. I mean, Humphrey Bogart is Humphrey Bogart.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to get...
That's exactly what I was thinking of.
Yeah.
You know... Tony Curtis, whoever you're thinking of, they're always the same dude in all or dudette, which is totally a word, in everything they do.
And they exploited that. How many of those Bob Hope and Jerry Lewis movies, like The Road to Cairo, The Road to Belize, The Road to, you know, it's the same movie.
Because that's what the audience wanted to see. They went to see a Jerry Lewis movie. They didn't want to see Jerry Lewis in a concentration camp.
Playing a clown, taking children to their death. In a concentration camp. Oh, God, I want to see that movie so bad.
Yeah, so much. I really need to get a hold of that. But that's, for everybody listening, that's an actual movie.
Yeah,
that just the day, never got released.
The Day the Crown Clyde. Crown. The Day the Clown Cried. Is that it?
The Day the Crown Clyde. That is exactly it.
The Day the Clown Cried.
I think that was the title, yes.
And Jerry Lewis...
Jerry Lewis is a clown in the concentration camps.
And he leads the children to the gas chamber.
Yep. You can probably guess right at this point why it wasn't released.
Oh, that's so terrible.
But yeah, yes. You watched a Sinatra movie because he was going to be Sinatra. He wasn't going to be anything other than what he was going to be.
Right.
Which, as a weird aside, I guess originally they wanted Frank Sinatra to play John McClane in the Die Hard movies.
Yes. Yeah. Actually,
which is so weird.
Yeah. Well, he did play. And that's Die Hard is a remake, and the original movie was based on a book and very similar premise, but Frank Sinatra played in the movie as not John McClane, it was some other name, and when they made Die Hard, they actually had to offer the role to Frank Sinatra cuz his company owned the property, I believe. And so everybody called it a blessing that he said no.
I am now realizing that my source for that anecdote was probably you. So yes. There you go.
But Frank Sinatra wouldn't have been good in that role, and he recognized it. And he said, you know, nobody wants to see an old dude run around doing the things that this guy needs to do. And then they ran through, like, every single actor in Hollywood, Bruce Willis was literally the last choice. Otherwise, this movie wasn't going to get made.
I mean, at that point, Bruce was what, the moonlighting guy? So
moonlighting.
That makes
sense. Yep. Yeah. He was on the hook for moonlighting. So I think he was doing some double duty, kind of like Michael J. Fox did with Family Ties and Back to the Future.
Yeah.
So anyway, little side note there.
Yeah. But yes, okay, before I get distracted, I do want to tell you my choice for the number one tier four actress
yeah.
is, I guarantee you, because you don't watch the show, but it's something you haven't heard of. The actress's name is Tatiana Maslany.
Okay, that sounds so foreign.
She's Canadian, so technically you're right, but
yes.
But she is the lead character in Orphan Black.
Oh. Does she have a British accent?
She has every accent. This woman plays the premise of the show, and I don't think it's a spoiler alert because they tell you exactly what's going on by the second episode, is that there's a bunch of clones.
Yeah.
And she plays every clone, obviously. That'd be weird if she didn't. But she is a completely and 100% believable in every role. See, the clones are, like, the main character is named Sarah. She's British, but kind of mm-hmm. like a, not quite Cockney, but not an upper-crust British.
Mm-hmm.
But she does play another clone who is upper-crust British. She plays, one of them's a German, one of them's Ukrainian, so she has, like, a Russian type of accent. One of them's a suburban soccer mom. One of them's a science nerd lesbian. I mean, and it's not even just the accents. She is completely believable in the attitudes and the personality of every single role she plays. It is unreal. Like, this girl has, like, I would say she's could fist fight Gary Oldman for the top of the pyramid. She's that good. Wow.
Yeah. Well, that's good because, I mean, we're not sexist here on Masters of Profundication.
Yeah, we probably are, but we try not to be.
No, not at all.
Well, that brings me to my next point, is that I do think the problem with finding examples of tier four actresses is Hollywood. I mean, I don't know what you could call this, the timeout for PC, because I hate to be that guy.
Yeah, PC.
But I really do think Hollywood does pigeonhole these women
yeah.
in a certain role that they feel like they need to play, and they don't let them branch out and flex their muscles. Yeah. I'm seriously, there's... It's utterly ridiculous to say women that are inherently worse actors than men. So what's the other alternative? You know?
I did a paper on it for one of my classes, and it was kind of disheartening to some of these feminists that are in Hollywood have really, really opened the doors. The problem, a huge problem, is the fact that there's not a huge pool of females to fill those places that the feminists have opened up, specifically for directors and things like that.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a bottom up kind of problem. It's not a top down kind of problem, that you have studios that are clamoring for, you know, diversity. And it's kind of the thing right now to have, you know, a female direct a film and brag about that. So any studio that can get their hands on somebody, and that's not to say that all studios, some studios are still pretty sexist, but the ones that have really just broken down those barriers, the feminists and the, you know, doing the good work and, you know, making sure that people know that, you know, I'm not going to work unless I'm working with females and those types of things. There's just, there aren't women to fill the vacancy. You know, there are no vacancies. I'm sorry, there are vacancies, but there are no women to fill the vacancies because they haven't been, you know, fostered from all these people like the J.J. Abrams and the Steven Spielbergs and the people that have taken their video camera out in their backyard and made films since they could.
Yeah, that was something little girls are never told they should be doing. So
right. So yeah. There's going to be this huge accordion style catch-up game where these women, these girls now that are getting into the film industry, they're going to be the ones filling those vacancies that the doors have been open for them. They're just nobody to walk through the door right now.
So that's,
that's one of the problems with feminism, or not feminism, but one of the problems with sexism in Hollywood is they get a black eye when they cast the wrong person or they fill the wrong position with, you know, a man or something like that. So studios want to be PC. It's liberal Hollywood. It's they would like to have these labels that they can put on their movie. You know, a woman directed this or a woman produced this or starring all women. You know, that's what they're looking for. They don't have the pool of people to pull from, but they will eventually.
Do you see the same problem in outside of pop culture, which is like in sciences, like women are underrepresented in you know, labs and research and stuff like that, which is being addressed because just for the vast bulk of this, well, I was going to say country, but really the world's history, women had, you know, hey, you're supposed to be this, this, and this, not a biochemist, you know, a physicist, a rocket scientist, anything like that. You're not supposed to be that. You're supposed to be, you know, you're supposed to be a kindergarten teacher. You're supposed to be a nurse. You're supposed to be maybe a doctor if we're feeling generous. And right. But it's changing, and that's good, because in the end, you want as many ideas, as many perspectives, as many as epiphanies and great understandings as possible. And you don't want to take 50% of the human race and say, yeah, screw you, we don't want to hear from you. That's utterly insane.
Right, right.
But I wanted to ask you, because you're the one that told me about this. Do you remember the name of that test?
Oh, yeah. It's movies? The, not the Bergdahl test. It's the...
Because I just saw the other day, and I can't remember. But there's a test where it's like, if women, if it passes a test, if there's two women in a scene in a movie, then they don't discuss men whatsoever, right?
Yeah, it's basically, it's like there's only three. It's the Bechdel test.
Bechdel, okay.
And it's essentially, there are these pass fail. It's like a pass fail on what, and there are like three things that you do. Are there two women on screen, and are they talking about the men in the film, and or at least does one of them, can one of them exist without the help of a man, and those types of things. I'm trying to get it on my Google here, but
yeah, it tells you something that they have to make that test, like they have to strive to find examples of anything that can pass that test, right?
Right. Let's see. Writer, one of each prominent female characters, blah, 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 blah. It's not where I am right now. I'm not getting into it at all. But essentially what it does is it offers an opportunity for people to watch a movie and pay attention to whether the women that are represented in the movie by those characters, if they're reliant on men in any way, shape, or form. And, you know, that's a shift. It's coming. I mean, you've got more and more and more females leading films. I'm trying to think of one right off the top of my head that it would be like a shocker. I think strong female characters in a movie.
Well, there's a kind of an archetype if you look at strong female characters.
Well, I'm just trying to think of a movie that could exist like Jurassic World.
Yeah.
And you have Christopher Pratt. He's clearly, I don't want to say clearly the star of the film, because clearly the star of the film is a female Tyrannosaurus Rex. but, you know, he couldn't do half the things in that movie without the help of a female. And
yeah, but that's a bad example, just because she is almost the cause of everything that went wrong too. So
well, and basically I wanted to use that because she spends the rest of the movie running from dinosaurs in heels.
In high heels, yes.
That's so ridiculous.
There's so many reasons why that was just a terrible movie. Oh my god.
But I think like Ghost in the Shell,
which is not out yet, but still looks pretty good.
Yeah, but I mean, that appears to be a movie about a woman doing the types of things that, you know, a man would do 20 years ago.
You also have, like I said, there's one archetype, there's one shiny paragon when you're looking at strong female leads. And I gotta imagine you can guess who I'm talking about.
Well, I mean, probably it could be a ton of different things. My brain is empty, but...
It's got to be Ripley.
Oh, my
and
God, yeah.
Specifically, yeah. Ripley in Aliens.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sigourney Weaver, who I think is maybe a shadow realm between 3 and 4. Bring her back.
Yeah. She runs around that movie making the men look like morons. Like
she's almost so much so that she's almost a Mary Sue, which is a term for, it's like it was begun in fan fiction. It's basically a character that's can do no wrong, mm-hmm. that everybody loves, that the whole, everything revolves around. It's an unreal character, no character flaws. That's a Mary Sue. I wouldn't say Ripley is. Like, it falls short of that, because definitely she makes mistakes and stuff like that. But, yeah, she's a strong female lead that saves the men, that makes the right decisions, that has to take charge, because everybody around her is fucking up completely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, she is definitely the best.
Ripley! Simply the best.
Oh.
Better than all the rest.
Tina Turner.
Who was another strong female character?
Yeah.
Right on Thunderdome.
She sure did. 2 men enter, 1 man leave.
Master Blaster.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways.
Anyway.
Back to Mad Max again.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's what we do. We bring things back around. You wait till the trivia question. I'm gonna bring this thing all the way back around from the very beginning.
Oh, crap.
No, it'll be good.
No, I feel like I'm on the field.
Well, let's summarize.
Okay. So, Gary Oldman, the best. The girl from Orphan Black, nipping at his heels. Let me just run down. If, for anybody that doubts me, let me just throw some examples up of Gary Oldman roles. And you tell me if he's Gary Oldman or if he's this character whose name of the character I probably forget for most of these roles, but you have to forgive me. So, first and foremost, Lieutenant or Commissioner Gordon in the Batman
Gordon.
Films.
Yeah. No, he's Commissioner Gordon. He's
he's mustache toting, you know, no bullshit Commissioner Gordon in those films. And then he's that crazy ass mofo from The Fifth Element.
Yep.
Then he's Misunderstood Sirius Black in the Harry Potter movies.
Mm-hmm.
Then he is low key but get it done dude in Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy.
I haven't seen that, actually.
Good movie. You should see it. It's actually really good. Yeah. The Russian bad guy in Air Force One. The list is endless. Every role he does, the crazy warlord in Book of Eli. I mean, every role he does is completely different than every role next to it. Mm-hmm. Like, I would almost venture to say he never does the same dude twice. So for everybody out there that doubted me, you can go fuck yourself. And I'm right. And I just proved it scientifically.
Suck it. Yeah, can't be disputed. But this, well, no, I'm not even going to go there. I was gonna go back around with the Denzel Washington, but Denzel Washington is Denzel Washington in every role he plays.
He's tier 3. Good actor, still tier 3. One time he kind of branched out was in Training Day, which he won an Oscar for, which kind of proves my point.
And I didn't like that movie.
No,
I'm in the minority there. I did not like Training Day at all.
Yeah, you kind of are. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm just telling you.
Everybody else.
I'm not going to say it's my favorite movie, but it was a good movie. So.
Yeah. Don't like it. So tier one, car salesman.
They're the used car salesmen. They're the people that are, there's really no difference between them and the people that you hear on the radio that are just bantering back and forth.
Have you ever seen that furniture store commercial that went viral? And it was these really bad actors, but they were doing it on purpose. Oh, it was like 2 or 3 years ago. I think it was like the Red Barn or something like that.
It's not ringing a bell. Kind of watching now, though.
Oh, I'll get it.
Okay, while you look at all tier two, they're pretty much your brainless action heroes. And I know Stallone, didn't he win an Oscar for Rocky? I don't know. But that was his early work, and nobody knew what Stallone was. Mm-hmm. And they didn't realize that he was going to be that guy in every movie he ever does. He's always going to be Stallone, Schwarzenegger, Van Damme. These are the tier two guys. Believable enough in the roles you give them, but they're never going to be able to branch away from what that narrow focus is.
Okay, I've just stumbled upon something incredibly awesome. There is a place on the internet that it has collected a bunch of tier one. Basically, it's local furniture commercials. And it looks like it's going to be a hoot here when I get a chance to watch it. The one I was trying to find is called The Red House. Anybody listening, if you get an opportunity, you should go listen to or watch on YouTube. If you just put in Red House furniture commercial, it'll come right up. And it's basically what we're talking about right now. That there, it pokes fun at. It's not a serious commercial. They actually wrote it and filmed it to be viral. But it is so true that it pokes fun at that type of ridiculous acting that you find in those local television commercial, you know, crazy, silly, you know, people that have never been in front of a camera before. And then all of a sudden they're told that they have to recite like 10 lines.
They're always family members of the guy that's trying to make the commercial.
Yeah.
I will tell you this, and this is, I don't know, geographically pigeonholing myself, but when I was in college, and I'll never forget this to my dying day, one of the commercials that played over and over again when you're watching TV was, I think it was a car dealership. These people, this woman, okay, somebody in a eagle costume was flying overhead, and somebody goes, it's Eagle Woman! She's dropping her rates! And she drops a fucking egg. And it's the price is being dropped. It was the most, it almost seemed like a parody but it was serious, which made it so much better.
Yeah.
So that was like a
I love local commercials.
Michigan thing. If you were in the mid-90s and you were watching TV, you saw this and you loved it, I guarantee you.
Yeah. Let's see. What did we have up in up towards Bangor? In Glenburn, they have the Better Buy Barn, which was a furniture thing. They had a jingle for the Better Buy Barn. Anybody that lived up there will never forget it. You get Better Buys at the Better Buy Barn. Yeah, it was. You got it on the radio. You got it on the TV. It was everywhere.
Yeah. In the Detroit area in the 80s, it was father and son. We're father and son. We do it all. Which, they threw that commercial in the movie It Follows, which helped me place where they were going to, where the setting was.
Oh, like, yeah, that's right. I remember you telling me that.
Yeah, I remember watching those commercials when I was a kid. So, yeah. I don't know what that has to do with anything, but there you go.
Well, I mean, now we're reminiscing on local commercials that feature Tier 1. And I'm telling you right now, this foreshadowing for my trivia question is glorious.
It's almost eerie.
It's eerie. It's almost as if telepathically we're connected. In just a minute, I'm going to text you with a quote from It.
Well, I'm watching the preview again.
Yes.
So, Tier 1, shitty actors. Tier 2, still shitty actors, but believable enough in the roles they give them. Tier 3, these are the award winners who are pretty much skating on their popularity, if I had to guess. If I had to evaluate them. Not judge them. Evaluate them.
Judge them.
No, I'm judging the hell out of them.
Yep.
People that can once in a while brush the Olympic heights of Tier 4, but for the most part, they're firmly ensconced in Tier 3. Mm-hmm. And they like it there. That's where they make their millions. Yes. And then your Tier 4, Pinnacle, Apex, Zenith, Acme, whatever adjective you want to use. These are the people that are the best actors and actresses in all the land and who are probably underappreciated. Strangely.
I don't think that you'd get many arguments, and probably you wouldn't get many people that have sat down and thought about it like that, who've broken it down like that. But I think that...
It's what I do.
I don't think that you'd get much argument. You probably would get some people thinking that their favorite actor belongs in Tier 4. Oh, but
you want to have somebody just be angry at you. Tell them their favorite actor is a subpar, not the top of the mountain actor.
Yeah.
They will fight you, man. They will throw a swing at you.
They'll fight you like you voted for Trump. Oh, wait. Ooh. We weren't going to get political.
We should avoid that.
But that's good. I agree wholeheartedly. I concur with the list. Right. So something that I was thinking about today, every once in a while a movie pops into my head and I'll be thinking about it. And I wanted to ask you tonight, Can you name a movie that pleasantly surprised you that you went in thinking it was not going to be good and it was actually good?
I know there's got to be an example. I'm trying to think of anything.
Well, let me just tell you, I've got two movies that I was thinking about today that I could easily pinpoint. I'm sure there were more. But I went into Minority Report thinking that that was going to be a stupid movie. And it actually was really, really, really good. It had high rewatchable parts.
Yeah.
Highly rewatchable. Yeah. But I remember it was hyped. And I don't remember what it was about, maybe one of the previews that came out just before the movie came out that made it look like they maybe gave it stuff out of context, like the... they weren't oracles. What were the
precogs?
The precogs that were in the they were in the fluid, and it was I remember watching a preview. They had shown all the action sequences. They had shown enough of the dialogue and enough of the high tech stuff where it looked like it was going to be a good movie. And then all of a sudden, they showed all this other stuff that was very confusing, and it made it was choppy. I remember watching that, thinking, "Oh my god, this is going to be a dumb movie," and
another brainless action flick.
Yeah, and I watched it, and it was phenomenal. And another one, and I'll probably get criticized for thinking that this one was going to be dumb. I didn't really think it was going to be dumb. I thought it was going to be boring as shit. Was Gangs of New York. Speaking of Daniel Day-Lewis. But I remember thinking that that was going to be very boring. I don't even know why I gave it a chance, but I watched it, and it's right up there on my list. I really like that movie.
Wow. I don't know what to say, man. I am exactly the opposite. I went into that movie thinking it was going to be really good and being disappointed by it.
Wow.
I don't know why.
You didn't like it at all?
I can't say I hated it, and I really feel like I need to rewatch it. Maybe there are definitely movies I've rewatched and appreciated more the second time around, and that seems like it would be one of them. But I'm not going to disparage either DiCaprio's or Daniel Day-Lewis's acting chops, but it's just the overall story. I feel like it dragged, and I feel like it was aimless, and it didn't have any like driving narrative to me that was engaging enough for me to care. You know, I don't know.
But Liam Neeson.
He died in first. He's tier three, and he died in the first what, 15 minutes, 10 minutes. Yeah. I mean, geez.
Well, while we're crapping on each other's favorite films, I will say that I recently, within the last few months, watched Dark City again, and did not like it at all.
Oh, I love that movie.
No, I know. I'm sorry. It was during the whole Westworld buzz, and I was like, I remember this movie being one of those things that you. Every corner, you were trying to figure out what was coming around the next corner, because it was going to be surprising. And I just remember it being that way. And I watched it again, and I was just like, this is trash.
Kiefer Sutherland probably started off life as a tier four, devolved into tier three as time went on. Just saying. But yes, I love that movie. I can also tell you, I completely understand why anybody wouldn't.
Yeah. It got to be pretty hard to watch.
It tickles a certain part of me that I am very forgiving of movies, and I don't know why. This is the geek in me. Telekinesis. I love movies where they use telekinesis. I don't know why. Huh. I will forgive almost any other sin that a movie commits that they use telekinesis in it. I don't know what it is about me or why I say that. Like Looper. I'm sitting there watching
haven't seen it.
There's a little kid that uses it. It's really the whole point of the movie is telekinesis, really. But the little kid uses it, and I'm like, oh, this is bad. Time travel, whatever. It's telekinesis. This movie's about telekinesis.
Oh, okay. All right, well. Now that we're talking about Kiefer Sutherland, another movie that I was actually surprised it was good was Phone Booth.
Yeah, actually, that was pretty good.
His voice was in it.
Yeah, right.
And I think they showed him at the end getting handcuffed.
Yeah,
spoiler alert.
Doesn't he get away? I thought he got away.
Maybe he does. Yeah, that's right. He gets away, and you know, as the audience member, that it's him. And as he's walking away with the rest of the crowd or whatever to get away with it, doesn't he look over his shoulder and give what's his face a little
Colin Farrell?
Doesn't he give him a little look like I got away with it?
Yeah, I helped you. You're welcome.
Yeah, I want to say that's that. But then there was another movie that's very much similar that I didn't like. So Man on a Ledge or something like that. I don't even think I finished it.
Basically,
it was a movie about a guy up on a ledge, and he was wanted by the law, and oh god, it was bad. I think it's been parodied a couple times, but
yeah.
Okay,
well, I did think of an example now. One example so far is The Mummy, the original Brendan Fraser.
Oh, yeah.
I went into that not expecting much of anything, and I walked away from it thinking, wow, that was actually a fun, entertaining, good time. Like, it didn't feel like, I feel like it didn't have that much hype. I don't know. Like, I just remember not having high expectations when I went and saw it and walking away from it thinking that was pretty cool. Ironically enough, it was The Mummy 2 that almost destroyed my ability to be enthusiastic about action movies.
You can't trust them because you can't trust them.
Yeah. Like, that was the first movie I remember watching, thinking it was going to be great, and then it was nonstop action from start to finish, and I was bored watching it.
Yeah.
And that destroyed my taste for brainless action movies. It takes a very special flavor of brainless action movie to make me enthused anymore. Like, I will avoid, like, I had to wait till, like, everybody I knew said Pacific Rim was worth watching until I finally sat down and watched it.
Yeah.
Just because I was like, big budget, big effect, small plot, small script, I don't care.
That gets a lot of hate. I really like Pacific Rim, but it gets a lot of hate.
Yeah, and actually so did I. But I had to hear a lot of my friends tell me it was good before I actually went into it.
Yep, I enjoyed it. Well, let's get to our legacy vault and maybe talk about revamping it.
Okay.
Maybe through the week we can come up with one movie and decide whether that one movie goes in.
Deserves going. Okay.
Because I think that there'll be too much pressure going forward to argue for one movie versus the other, because you might put up a better movie and then I might argue for your movie, much like what happened last week with
the last 2 weeks. I think we did the same thing.
Yeah, so maybe we discuss a movie and then decide whether we put it in the legacy vault and therefore it is above.
We'll have to fine-tune in our process, tweak it a little bit.
Yeah, So
okay.
So maybe we skip the Legacy Vault for this week, bring it back next week after we've talked about it.
Build the anticipation.
Yes. So that leaves us with trivia.
Trivia. Let me, I'll go first this time because my trivia question is, you've hyped yours enough that I've
adequately sold it? Because that's yes. What I was going for.
Mine is somewhat bland, but I did find this interesting, and I don't know what this says about me.
Did you say bland or Anne?
Who? Her?
Her? Her? Oh, if our listeners haven't watched Arrested Development, they have to go do it right now.
Yeah, or else we got no use for you. Just saying. So, I was trying to think of how to phrase this. Which planet in our solar system?
Jupiter.
Was only this? Nope. Only nope. Discovered by use was first discovered by use of a telescope.
Oh, I should know this now because I'm such an astrology nut.
Astronomy. So don't say astrology.
Oh, no, I'm an astrology nut because it's all in the stars, buddy. It's all in the stars. You want to know what that connection is with your brother? That is because...
The Zodiac!
The Zodiac. Killer is behind you. Anyway, so it was discovered only by a telescope and not by other instruments, or it was the first planet discovered by a telescope? Did I say microscope?
Like, I'm not going to say it was the first.
I feel like I might be drunk right now.
No, I haven't heard. No, I had two beers, so I'm drunk. That's why I had to press.
terribly you know, two beers wasted.
But I'm not going to say it's the first planet seen through a telescope because, you know, people have been looking at planets since there have been people.
Right. So
this is the first one whose existence was discovered by use of a telescope.
Okay. And when you say discovered, you mean first seen?
Because like they never knew it was a...
Clearly, they were planets that telescope. Were known before the telescope.
Right. Like
you could see them with the naked eye.
Venus and, Mercury. You know, something like that.
Venus.
Mercury. Yeah.
Mars.
Mars. Maybe not saying. I don't know. But this is the first one that it took a telescope to be able to find out existed.
Earth. No, just kidding.
What if we name this down? Whoa!
It was here the whole time.
What a twist.
Let's see. Where are you? Venus, Earth, Mars. You can see Jupiter.
Yeah, I believe so.
Well, that leaves Neptune and Uranus, except Pluto. Pluto was just recently brought back into the fold, I think, weren't they? Weren't they? Like I talk now, like it's a colony of people out there. Like, isn't Pluto? Didn't those people out there in Pluto get their planet back?
They all waved their arms really hard. We saw it.
Didn't the scientists reconfirm Pluto as a planet?
Well, they're redefining what they consider a planet now. The last thing I read.
Yeah, so Pluto now is back to being one of the big dogs. I'm going to say Neptune.
Wrong. He had two choices and you picked the wrong one.
Uranus.
It's Uranus.
Uranus. Which,
I'm sorry. The 5-year-old me will always say Uranus.
I agree. Uranus.
Yeah. That was the first. It took a telescope to discover Uranus existed.
Wow.
Just saying that makes me laugh. I don't know.
Okay, Bart Simpson.
I never knew you had an anus until I looked.
With a telescope.
With a telescope.
Mm-hmm. I wonder what that anus looks like under a telescope.
Like a star.
Big.
A dirty, dirty star.
Like a big brown star. In the sky.
A star, a star, a star.
Look, it's the mud planet.
It's winking at me.
Okay. So here's my trivia question.
All right, I'm ready.
And, okay, so the... movies have the Academy Awards, or more commonly referred to as the Clios. Oh, damn it! I just ruined it. I just gave you the answer. The Oscars. God damn, I'm such an asshole.
Wow. My answer is going to be the Clio. I
am so drunk right now. No, I'm not.
Totally.
Drunk. I haven't even had a drink to drop. So my question was the Oscars, Emmys, Grammys, Tonys, what do advertisements have for awards? It's the goddamn Clios.
I think I knew that already. I'm just going to say I knew that already, and you'll never know the difference.
Well, I was hoping you'd know it.
Okay, I didn't know that.
You didn't?
Say Clio, I still, that doesn't even ring a bell for me, so.
I can't believe. Well, how's it spelled?
C-L-E-O.
C-L-I-O. Ooh.
That's Clio.
Damn it. I can't believe I gave it away. God, I'm so dense.
I'm just going to go with you were drunk. That makes it sound way more excusable.
Okay.
Just Get drunk and we'll retroactively apply it.
I'll continue to drink. How about I edit it? I'll re-ask you when you can get it correct.
Okay, let me put on the show. What is the name of that award?
Name of the award for the advertisements?
The advertising awards. I feel like it starts with a K.
No, let's see. Clio.
Oh, you cut me off.
Yeah. Guess what? Like swept the Clios last year. I guess it didn't sweep it, but guess what won big last year in the Clios?
Like a Geico commercial.
Deadpool.
That counts.
All the Deadpool. Like it went viral. They used emojis.
Environmental, like, accept the award because that would be awesome.
I don't know. I don't think so because I don't think they're televised. But Deadpool won a bunch. Well, and you know, like Old Spice won because of their commercials are ridiculous and that's stupid.
And that's such a trend now. Just stupid, crazy commercials for the sake of stupid. Like, I just watched one. Like, I watch almost all my TV on Amazon or Netflix, so I don't see that many commercials, except for when I'm watching YouTube clips. I just saw one, which was a Captain Morgan, how to make a Captain Morgan donkey? I don't know, some kind of mixed drink. It was a dude in a donkey suit wearing a Captain Morgan outfit. So, like, you know, 3 layers deep. And he's, like, chipping away at an ice block with his donkey hoofs. That is so definitely just... Oh, that's what the kids like nowadays. Weird for the sake of being weird. Let's do that. You know, that's such a bandwagon freaking commercial.
My favorite commercial right now is the Domino's Pizza Ferris Bueller remake. Have you seen that?
No. I just don't watch commercials. I don't know. I feel like I should, though.
Well, you should YouTube it. It's pretty funny. It's they redid... It's a good long commercial. It's like a minute and a half. Maybe not that long. That sounds like a long time for a commercial. But they recreated the highlights from the end of the Ferris Bueller movie. And they have this actor doing it who is the douchebag boyfriend in Stranger Things.
Oh, Steve?
And he's what's weird about that is he's not really a douchebag. He ends up not being a turd.
Wait, like, in Stranger Things or the commercial?
In Stranger Things.
Yeah, yeah. He's kind of redeemed.
He redeems himself as not being a jerk. But anyway, he plays Ferris Bueller in a Domino's commercial, recreating the highlights from said movie. And it's actually really good.
Wait, like he's jumping over hedges and
trampolines or something? Oh, okay. Yep. It's shot for shot. Like he runs by the two girls sunbathing in the lawn chairs and turns around, comes back and introduces himself. And he runs next to a car. And instead of Ferris Bueller's dad, it's the guy that plays Cameron Frye, who's much older now. You know who I'm talking about?
The one that actually played Cameron?
The actor that actually played Cameron.
Never really used the character's last name, I guess.
Well, in that scene, Bueller,
yeah.
Fry, anyone? Yeah, that's Cameron Frye. Come on, get your references straight.
Holy crap, I remember Abe Froman, okay?
Abe Froman, the Sausage King of Chicago. Here's a
where John McClane was a cop, make it so.
Whenever I order a pizza and they ask me for a name, I always say Abe Froman. So when I show up, pizza for Abe Froman. I can't say that. I don't always do it, but it tickles me to do it every once in a while. I feel like I'm getting one over. And I had somebody call me on it.
Yeah.
Years ago, and I want to say it was local. Leslie was here, so she heard the kid say it, and I'm like, Abe Froman, he said the Sausage King of Chicago. I'm like, I'm gonna pay double for this pizza. I will tip you anything you want.
You earn yourself a huge tip.
Yes, but anyway, that's my favorite commercial going right now. There's a bunch of Super Bowl commercials that were good. Did you see the acne cream commercial with Olivia Munn that was in the Super Bowl?
I know I did, but I'm trying to remember.
It's the one where she just shows up in some teenage boy's bathroom and he's got a towel around his waist and he's popping zits or something in the mirror. And she's like, you know, you don't have to pop those. You can just put it, you know, and the kid's just like, oh my God, it's Olivia Munn and she's in my bathroom. And she's like, yeah, calm down. I'm Olivia Munn. I'm just in your bathroom, but I'm telling you about this. And then he drops the towel and she like averts her eyes and so funny.
Yeah. I'm almost positive. I had to have seen that, but
yeah.
So this is a mini trivia question, I guess. In its vein of your Abe Froman, see if anybody gets a reference. If I walked up to you and said my name is Rory B. Bellows, would you get that reference? Because I have actually done that in the past once when I think it was at like one of those places, like, oh, can I have your name? I was like, Rory B. Bellows, for when they like make your fucking burrito or something like that.
What's that?
like all my stupid references, that's from The Simpsons.
Oh.
So when Krusty the Clown faked his death, his alias was Rory B. Bellows.
I never would have got that. I have, oh, there's.
I did that once. I was like, I walked up to the register, like, have your name, and for whatever reason, I was like, Rory B. Bellows. It's like, okay. Nobody got it. I was like, slightly disappointed.
How many seasons of The Simpsons have there been? Like 25, 28, something like that?
I want to say 28. I don't know.
I bet I've seen probably 6 full seasons.
Well, you should be ashamed of yourself then.
I am. I clearly
seasons am. 1 through 9 are worth watching. After that, yeah, just stop. You're fine. 1 through 9.
I want to say I watched season like 3 through 9, and then have
that's still pretty good.
And then have seen probably a handful of other episodes, but yeah, that's my shame.
Now, my shame is that I kept watching them for all those years. Like this latest season is the only season I have not watched. I am. Up until last year, I could say I watched every episode of The Simpsons, and that's hundreds, all through the crap years, all through the, why am I still doing this? Until it finally dawned on me, I'm not impressing anybody. I'm not going to win an award for this. I should just stop. And I did. And I'm proud of myself.
All right. I feel like I need to redeem myself with a trivia question.
Okay.
Do you know the first television show to feature
I Love reruns? Lucy.
Aha. Is it?
I thought you were going to say the three-camera method, so I jumped the gun like an asshole.
No, not the three-camera method. The first show to have
reruns. Okay, the first one to have reruns.
Which, technically, you're correct. I Love Lucy is the first one to feature reruns, but it's not the first one to have reruns. That would be something just... Nope.
See, the only reason I say that is because I remember that scene from Back to the Future where he's like, oh, this is a rerun. They're watching Honeymooners.
That would
That's
be a
all
good,
I got.
That would be a good throwback, but it's The Lone Ranger.
That was a TV show? I guess it was. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. But the first show that was designed, not technically designed for syndication, but designed to be rerun is I Love Lucy.
Huh.
And The Three-Camera Method.
Yeah, that one I knew. All right.
So I feel better. I feel better about myself.
You got me 2 times, technically. Though so technically one.
No, yeah, you got the Clio Awards.
As a default.
Oh, man. <that's> so shit.
You were so hyped about
stupid.
That one, too.
But we had been talking about commercials. We had been talking about Oscar performances. We had been talking about all that bullshit. I'm like, yes, foreshadowing. I'm so excited, Cleo.
It just worked so well. I've got such a trivia boner right now. No.
I'm not the only one that gets trivia boners.
Windsock. But, oh, yeah. I love trivia boners.
Oh, be so terrible at like public trivia. I did really well at the Olive Garden when I was by myself, but
I totally kicked you out for indecency.
No,
sir.
No,
I understand you have a trivia boner.
I don't know.
But
I know
we cannot let you
like...
display your trivia boner in our Olive Garden.
No, I had to. I wanted to stand up and be like, "You dare challenge me?" But like trivia night at a bar or something like that, I feel like that would be difficult for me.
One of the shining moments of my youth. I went to a boarding school and we had a trivia contest thing. And I was asked to join a team only as an alternate to my friend who was on the team. And then he decided he couldn't be for some stupid reason. So I joined and 3 people on my team with me didn't know how to take it. I dominated. I was knocking out questions left and right. And everybody was looking at me with their jaw open. It was great.
Yeah. And then with their jaw open, you just went and crammed your dick in there.
My trivia boner right in there.
Yep.
A-boom.
One
of the only questions I got wrong is because my stupid brother gave me a very dumb... Anyways, he knows what he did.
Yeah. Jerk.
Jerk. With your apples. Anyways, that's a total inside joke that nobody's going to get with me, my brother. So enjoy.
And you're going to have that connection telepathically.
He probably feels like he's gonna text me and say, "Ripe into ovary."
Are you talking about it again?
Mm.
All right. Well, I think that we can wrap this up, and I think next week we want to talk about how movies get made.
How movies get made, soup to nuts, start to finish.
Soup to nuts, starts to finish. How does a movie land in the theater? How do we park our ass in a movie theater to see a movie? Why we do that, and how they know why we're going to do it?
Let's lift the curtain. Let's pay attention to the man behind the curtain.
Yes. All right. Well, that's all I've got.
All right. I am Bob Stone.
And I'm Frankenfurter Mulder.
Frankenfurter Mulder. Get me in your Monday mail.
Get me in your Monday. Oak Nuggins.
Oak Nuggins.
All right.
We're out.
Bye.
Bye-bye.